Chapter 35. Nerves are treacherous, uncomfortable things. My nerves wouldn't let me settle down to read or watch television, and I didn't care to bake. So I paced. Sometimes I got like this, just a strong, bad feeling that all was not well, that somewhere something was about to happen, and it would not be good. Although rain was usually one of my favorite sounds, today it was just a sporadic, monotonous, irritating dripping. Had there ever been such a rainy month? Kate had come by early for Ulysses. As he left, he cautioned me again to stay inside the house, to keep doors and windows locked, and to have my cell phone at the ready. Although Kate assured me he would have Ulysses back before dark, I had gotten so used to having him in the house, talking to him, depending on him to bark a warning if someone came to the door, that the house seemed mighty vacant without him. The events of the past couple of weeks alarmed and depressed me. 3 deaths, and even though finding an actual relative when I thought my family was all gone was a happy event, it still took a toll on my emotions. I worried about Cade and Gerald in their dangerous jobs and, well, let's face it, I was uncomfortable over my part in the situation with Miss Evangeline's will, or lack of it. I felt it my duty to ferret out her murderer. Had the same person killed Myra and Lila, or did we have 2 murderers to worry about? Penny seemed to catch my mood. She paced over to the window, stiff-legged, hopped up on the back of the sofa, and stared out at the dismal day. Dark, menacing clouds hung low over Edna Lee. Would we ever have sunny days again? Maybe Pat was right. Maybe a blue moon month influenced the weather and people's moods. Maybe it turned ordinarily nice people into crazed killers. Mentally, I shook myself and spoke aloud. Stop it, Nettie Elizabeth. You are becoming as superstitious as Pat. I wouldn't give in to fear. What had happened to my faith? A brilliant flash of lightning shivered through the room, followed by a crack of thunder. I jumped, and Penny disappeared upstairs, undoubtedly to crouch under my bed. The monotonous dripping became a roar as rain fell in torrents. Where were Cade and Ulysses? Had my dog been able to pick up Moe's scent? Had they tracked him down? What if they cornered him and Moe shot them both? Pouring a cup of coffee with hands that shook, I willed the phone to ring. I walked to the window and peered through the gray curtain of rain, hoping to see the glimmer of Cade's truck lights coming up the long driveway. Get a hold of yourself, I muttered. Cade is an experienced lawman. He won't do anything foolish, and he will look out for Ulysses. Knowing the rain would wash away all the scent from Moe's trail, I reassured myself by reasoning that Cade and Ulysses would soon give up the tracking mission as hopeless. They would come home, and all would be well. I went through the entire house, flicking light switches in every room, even the bathroom. Hopefully, the electricity would stay on. Usually, I enjoyed being alone in this big old house, although it was better with Ulysses in it. But I drew the line at being alone in a big, old, dark house. If I called Miss Anne or Pat or Jackie, they would offer to come and stay with me, but I didn't want to ask them to come out in such a deluge. I clicked on the light in the tiny room upstairs that I called my office and glanced at my computer. My camera lay beside it. It was not the smartest thing to turn on the computer during a storm, but this was not an ordinary day. At least the computer would offer some sort of contact with other people. It was attached to a backup box, so it should be safe to use. Realizing I hadn't downloaded my last few pictures, I scooted into my office chair and plugged my camera into an empty port. Within a few seconds, the latest images popped up. I scrolled through pictures of Ulysses and Penny and one of the Carver Mansion. A shiver ran through me as I gazed at this historic building. I had snapped the photo on the night Jackie, Pat, and I arrived at the farm, the night Miss Evangeline was found dead. Setting rays of the sun lay across part of the roof and lit the windows of the west side of the house. Its shadow stretched across the lawn. The trees around it were dark silhouettes, reaching with long, leafless branches toward the darkening sky. Shivering, I scrolled to the next picture. Maybe it was the knowledge of what would be discovered only a short time after making the picture that caused the mansion to look ominous and, as Pat said, spooky. The clump of cedars near the spot Miss Evangeline died filled the screen. I had snapped the photo as Ken and I were riding back to the barn. Enlarged, the picture showed more than I noticed with my naked eye. Rocks, scuffed-up dirt, briars, bushes, and trunks of scrub cedars. I leaned closer to the screen. What was that under a bush? Enlarging the picture further, I squinted, then got my magnifying glass. Something was out of place. A remnant of white hung from a low branch of a cedar. It looked like a piece of cloth and was entirely out of place in this area of rocks and trees. I didn't have to glance out the window to know the storm was still going full blast. Thunder rumbled, lightning flashed, and here in this upstairs room, the rain sounded like a drum against the roof. But I wanted to know if that scrap of material was still there, attached to the prickly bush. Penny crawled out from under the bed and jumped up on my lap. "I'm so glad you decided to join me," I said, stroking her silky head. "You wouldn't think I was crazy for going out in this storm, would you?" Her eyes darkened and she asked, "You're right. I shouldn't be so foolish," I said. "But as soon as the storm lets up, I'm going back to the Carver farm. Surely no one else will be out and about on such a soggy day. Cade told me to stay indoors, but did I agree?" "I don't think so." Penny looked up at me and tapped my chin with one small paw. If she could have spoken, I felt sure she would have said that my idea was a dumb one, and I should just show Cade the picture and let him check to see if the object was still there. The wind might have blown it away by now. With one last reproachful look, Penny hopped off my knees and trotted out of the bedroom door, legs stiff and tail pointing up. If I phoned Cade, he would tell me not to go, and Pat and Jackie would think I was probably on a fool's errand. That's why I would make sure they didn't. No, that is. To fill in the time until the rain decided to go away, I would do some computer searches. Typing in the names of Miss Evangeline's kinfolk might net some interesting results. It was only a chance, but anything gleaned about that family should be useful. First, I typed in Elbert Carver. A few results came up, none of them meaningful until I opened the last one. A mental light bulb blinked on. Elbert had not come to the Carver farm to help Miss Evangeline. He came because he had nowhere else to go. Due to some poor business decisions and a shady deal or two, Elbert was bankrupt. He had lost his home, his savings, even his job. In light of all this, it would be fair to say that Elbert was desperate. He needed money badly, but did he need it badly enough to murder for it? Next was Elbert's wife, Pearlie. She had been involved in a lawsuit at about the same time Elbert declared bankruptcy. The suit was brought by an enterprise that had a chain of casinos. What had happened? How interesting. Cade had mentioned that Pearlie's brother, who actually wasn't a brother, Mick Morrow, worked for a gambling establishment. Surely there was a connection. Pearlie would have been at the farm because Elbert was there. But why was Mick there, too? I typed in Vita Johnson. Scrolling through, I could find nothing on her. It was as if she did not exist. Why? Was this her real name? Why wasn't there even a mention, however small? A leaf shadow fell across my computer, and I looked out of the window. The sun was out. The rain had stopped, however temporarily. If I was going to go to the Carver farm and try to find that bush in my picture and retrieve the scrap, now was the time.